I want to pick up and read where Andy left off. He read Luke 2, 1 through 7. And I'll be reading starting at verse 8 and going through verse 20. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from there into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. We're all familiar with these stories. We've been hearing them, many of us, our whole lives. I think the first time I heard the story was probably back in the day. Do you remember in public school when you did Christmas programs? We did that. Chattanooga, Tennessee, I was in Missionary Ridge Elementary School, and each class had different songs to sing, and we even had the whole nativity scene on stage. And the big event was when they would choose one of the sixth grade girls in the class to be Mary. So we would get the Christmas story in the public school. But tonight I just want to talk very briefly, because I know we all have family and dinners and things to get to tonight. I just want to talk about two of the participants in this narrative tonight. You know, the baby Jesus is the main event, of course, but I want to talk about the supporting actors here, the shepherds and the angels, because it's where heaven and earth intersect. It's a group of people, it's as earthy as you can get, and then it's the angels, it's as heavenly as you can get. And how they come together in a field outside of Bethlehem. So let's first take a look at the shepherds. It doesn't get any more earthy or gritty than shepherds. They're camping out 24/7, living off the land, constant dirt under your fingernails, and you smell like wet sheep. You do your best to handle whatever life throws at you. It's either going to be hot, dry, and dusty, just like today, or cold, wet, and muddy. And although there are some notable exceptions, the shepherds are not living the lifestyle of the rich and famous. In fact, the powerful and the influential people usually look down upon the shepherds because they are common, everyday, sometimes raw, very earthy. Genesis chapter 46 tells us every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians, where, you know, they spent 400 years, Israel. So you have these Jewish shepherds doing what shepherds always do. They're camping, they're being dirty, they're smelling like sheep, they're watching over the flock, when suddenly they find themselves in the middle of the intersection. where heaven and earth meet. They just thought it was going to be another evening at work, maybe kill a coyote or two, but hang around the campfire, chase a few stray sheep. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Imagine that, peaceful, maybe a little chilly. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. I just want to invite you tonight to not let those words just pass by your ears. Just imagine being there and witnessing what they witnessed that night. Now, in sharp contrast to the shepherds, we have angels. It doesn't get any more heavenly than angels. They're doing the God thing 24/7. We find them in the Old Testament and even in the New, the early stories of the New Testament, bringing direct messages from God to His people. We find them surrounding the very throne of God, praising Him continuously with the words, "Holy, holy, holy." A place where we can't even go, or we would be struck dead. And yet the angels are there. That's where they live. That's where they exist. That's where they minister. We even find them keenly interested and excited about the things concerning our salvation. The angels are also very good at doing birth announcements. This is nothing new for them. They announce the birth of that Old Testament figure named Samson. Here's the account. The angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines." So they were not even used to making birth announcements. They were used to announcing the birth of saviors, even if they were of the like of people like Samson, who were very frail and fallen. An angel announced the birth of John the Baptist. In Luke chapter 1, the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." And then, of course, the angel announced the birth of Jesus to Mary. "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." So we have shepherds and angels intersecting together, heaven and earth meeting in this narrative. And by the way, don't neglect to show hospitality to the people you meet out in the world. Because the Bible tells us, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Imagine if you were entertaining an angel and didn't know it, and you were rude, or you were angry, or you dropped some language that maybe you wish you hadn't, and that angel goes back and reports. Uh-oh, wish I had known that was an angel. So here, the angels are bringing the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ to shepherds. It's like God was saying, "You know, I've got a long up and down history with these shepherds, but I'm still going to let them know about this miraculous birth first." I don't know whether God felt as though He owed it to them, but they were representative of the nation of Israel that He had promised over and over and over that He was going to save them from their enemies. "I'm going to let them know about this miraculous birth first. I'm going to put them in the middle of the intersection where heaven and earth meets. And if they have ears to hear, they'll get it. You know, there's always been the intersection of heaven and earth. But people all throughout history, and we ourselves, have failed to recognize it the way we should. People are usually good at avoiding intersections for various reasons. There's a lot of them I thought about in using this illustration. Sometimes the traffic's just too heavy. I don't want to go to that intersection. There's too much going on. There's too much delay. I want to get to where I'm going quicker. You know, I've actually got a better way to go. I've got my own way to go. Maybe a less controversial way. Or a less divisive way. There's a lot of different ways to go and avoid the intersection where heaven and earth meet. We've been very inventive over the millennia of finding ways to avoid it. But God is patient, and He's always associated Himself with the shepherds in a unique way so that we might learn about Him and worship Him all the more. The most famous psalm in the Bible is about God being a shepherd. Many of you in this room know this psalm by heart and will know every word as I read it to you right now. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's exactly why Jesus came, because He is the good shepherd. To shepherd His people to green pastures and still waters. The prophet Isaiah said, He will tend His flock like a shepherd. He will gather His lambs in His arms. The very things that those shepherds were doing that very night in the fields outside Bethlehem. He will carry them in His bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and marked off the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? He's the good shepherd. Jesus taught that Himself when He said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. The book of Revelation chapter 7 says, For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So that night, angels and shepherds met. That night, God and human flesh, actually, that met 9 months before that. But you know what I mean. God providing a Savior. God giving faith so that shepherds, men and women, could believe. As I shared with the kids, so that the Savior could be born, where He could live, where He could die for the sins of His people. So that whosoever might believe in Him could be forgiven and live forevermore, forever. How does a good shepherd save his people? He seeks and saves that which is lost. When he finds them, he cleans them up. He protects them from the enemies that are lurking, and he keeps them with him forever. He can do that for you tonight. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, which relate to us the birth of Christ and the story of the angels and the shepherds near Bethlehem. Thank you for the gift of faith. Would you give that tonight to someone so that they may believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, that they may have their sins forgiven and receive the gift of eternal life. We thank you, Lord. Would you bless us tonight as we have time with family and friends, and tomorrow on Christmas Day? Would you watch over us tonight as we travel? Would you keep us safe? Would you hear our song of praise as we sing Silent Night, as we worship you in spirit and in truth? For we pray in Christ's name. Amen.